In Matthew 16, the Lord asked his disciples, "Who do men say that he is?" Eventually he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter received a revelation from the Father and therefore declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said to Peter, "You are really blessed. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in the heavens." Then immediately he went on to say, "Upon this rock I will build my church." This is the Lord himself speaking. As soon as the revelation was given concerning his person, he unveiled what's on his heart, saying directly, "I will build my church." The fact that this is goes side by side with the revelation concerning Christ's person indicates the very close relationship between Christ, the Son of God, and his purpose to build up his church. I call your attention to the two words, "My church." The church here equals the universal body of Christ that includes all believers throughout time and space. So, my church denotes the one universal church. But it's significant that the Lord said, "My church." Now, as we are gathering here, the Lord is indwelling us. The Lord is also on the throne in the highest place in the universe. Surely he has a clear view of the entire situation on the earth. He's aware that in many, many time zones, this is what is known as Sunday, and that all over the earth, people are going into certain kind of buildings and having services. Let's say the Lord is looking upon this place and that place. Can he say, "That is my church"? My church. So, if he looks at the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church in Vatican City, and the Mass is going on, would he say, "My church"? I don't want to go on and on. But it's not what we think the church is. It's not what we feel about whatever we're familiar with. What counts is the Lord's assessment. And if something is not my church, he will call it by its right name, because he will build a unique, organic entity, my church. That's in Matthew 16, 18. Two chapters later, the Lord is giving teaching concerning relationships in the kingdom of God. And he comes to the matter of the effort to recover a brother who may have fallen into something or has offended you. So one brother would go to him in the spirit of fellowship with the heart to recover him. And if the brother responds to him, the Lord said, you have gained your brother. But if the brother doesn't listen to you, then you should go again with one or two others. If he doesn't listen to those two or three, the Lord said, tell it to the church. And then he goes on to say, if this one does not hear the church, then this is how you should view him. My church, the church, this is the Lord speaking. What he calls the church cannot be the universal church mentioned in 1618. How can you speak to an invisible universal entity? So it must be something practical. And we'll see, especially later, it must be something at hand that's local. And notice the Lord said, he didn't say, tell it to a church. Just find a church somewhere in the locality and talk to the ones taking the lead there. His word was the church. The little words, my and the, convey a great light, especially in contrast to what has developed on the earth in the almost 2,000 years since the Lord spoke these words. And the fact is, something has developed that's called a church, that according to the scriptures, according to the Lord as the Spirit, is not my church, and surprisingly, it's not the church, it's something else. There is a very important connection between my church in Matthew 16:18, the universal church, and the church in Matthew 18:17, the local church. God's goal is to build up the church as the body of Christ, as a universal organism. So all the believers that are now with the Lord, they're part of this organism. Eventually, the believers will be resurrected. We will become the New Jerusalem as the consummation of the church. This is the ultimate goal. But the church in Matthew 18:17 is the means ordained by God himself. So the apostles in the New Testament, having been trained by the Lord, announced the gospel of the kingdom, brought multitudes of people to the Lord, and then established churches. One church in one city. Beginning with Acts 8, verse 1, you have the expression, the church in Jerusalem. By that time, was composed of several thousand believers. Then Acts 13, the church in Antioch. Paul wrote to the church of God at Corinth. So at this juncture, I who'd only remember the basics of math that I studied a long time ago, I'm going to teach you a little bit of Bible math. I'm going to give you one equation, okay? And you are welcome to test the accuracy of this equation. Okay, here we go. Acts 14:23 plus Titus 1:5 equals Revelation 1:11. So let's look at the components. Acts 14:23, the apostles appointed elders in every church. So there was one eldership for the church. In Titus 1:5, Paul instructs his co-worker Titus to appoint elders in every city. City. There's only one eldership in a city. So in Acts 14:23, you have every church. In Titus 1:5, you have every city. This equals Revelation 1:11, where Jesus himself is speaking and tells John, write this in a scroll and send it to the seven churches. Then Jesus names seven cities. Now, the churches are equated with the cities where they are. So I believe this basic equation is accurate. If you have the truth, elders in every church, combined with the truth concerning elders in every city, then you realize a church equals the city. I'd like to emphasize that it's Jesus himself saying in Revelation 1:11, send it to the seven churches. Then our Lord himself identifies the seven cities. Then in chapter 2, this is still the Lord himself, he begins to speak to every church and he puts the name of the city together with the word church. To the messenger of the church in Ephesus, right? So it goes without saying that if anyone is clear about what a church is, it's the one who founded it, the one who said, my church, the one who said, the church. Now he himself is addressing to the messenger, whoever in the church can receive the word and speak it, to the church in Ephesus. He repeats, to the church in Smyrna, to the church in Pergamos, to the church in Thyatira, to the church in Sardis, to the church in Philadelphia, to the church in Laodicea. However, in whatever way someone wants to have a church life, that's up to them. With believers, we do not make the church an issue with believers. We don't go after them to try to convince them you should meet with us and not there. We do not make the church an issue. We leave that decision to the believer's relationship with the Lord himself. However, the ones we bring to the Lord and baptize into the triune God, then we just bring to the church life. Then at the very end of Revelation, I already referred to this, way toward the end of chapter 22, the Lord says, I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to testify to these things in the churches. So the clear revelation in the New Testament is that the Lord is building his church, the universal body of Christ, including all the believers throughout space and time, all the genuine believers throughout the earth are members of the body of Christ. They don't have to meet with us. They don't have to agree with us. They're members of the body. If they would come to our meeting, we have the Lord's table. It's not our table. You are welcome to be here just as we are welcome to be here. We don't interrogate anyone. We don't question anyone. The Lord has received you. We receive you. Because you are part of the Lord's church. But the building up of the church with its eternal consummation takes place in space and time because all the members are living in space and time. So the Lord has ordained that in every locality there will be one church as the local expression of the one body. And in that one church, there will be one eldership, which also equals the elders in the city. And it is through the actual, practical, local churches that the Lord will fulfill his desire to build up the church. This is portrayed by a portion of the history of the people of Israel, all of which is a type of us. In the Old Testament, and once the people were brought into the good land, the Lord ordained a specific place for them to experience corporate worship. They can worship the Lord personally in a sense, but for corporate worship, they had to come to the designated place. That is Jerusalem. And in that place, in Jerusalem, was the only location where the temple could be built. When judgment came upon the house and city of God due to idolatry, and many of the Israelites were sent to Babylon, in all probability, that is when the synagogue system came into being. But they didn't decide, well, we're here, let's build a temple. They knew they could not do that. And Daniel, who was in captivity for so long, prayed three times a day toward Jerusalem. And he knew that Jeremiah's prophecy that the captivity would last 7 years, and he was still alive. The Lord kept him alive for a long time. He prayed for the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. Then God himself changed the political situation, transferred the kingdom to the Medo-Persian Empire, and used Cyrus to issue a decree to God's people to return to Jerusalem and build God a house. And that's what happened. I do believe that many in this room, especially those that are younger, but maybe even all of us, we will live to see something taking place in Jerusalem. The location for building the temple, that is the place where Abraham offered Isaac Mount Moriah. In Solomon's time, following David, it was known as Mount Zion. And we know from the end of 2 Samuel, that is the place that God chose to build his temple. Now that site is occupied by another kind of structure. Something will happen. Just as the recovery of the nation of Israel took place, just as the recovery of Jerusalem has taken place 51 years ago through the Six-Day War, something will happen to clear that Temple Mount. And the devoted Israelis who have given themselves to prepare everything for the rebuilding of the temple will build it there. But that will entail an international crisis. So Israel, we know from prophecy, will enter into a covenant with a powerful European leader who somehow will be able to oversee this and make it happen. The return of certain Israelites to Jerusalem for the rebuilding of the temple, that opened the way for the prophecy concerning the birth of Jesus to be fulfilled. The first coming of the Lord Jesus through incarnation required a remnant returning to the chosen place in Jerusalem. That's a fact. And we believe in principle. In principle. It will be the same with the Lord's second coming. The temple we need to be built. You read 2 Thessalonians 2. You read the reference to the abomination of desolation, spoken of in Matthew and in Mark 13. The Antichrist will sit in the temple, demand to be worshipped, and that will start the Great Tribulation. So the Lord Jesus, in order to come back, will be coming back as the bridegroom for the bride. And the preparation of the bride depends upon the building up of the body of Christ. And the building up of the body of Christ will take place through the procedure of the local churches. That's the New Testament. How the other believers not meeting in this way will fit in, it's not for us to say. It's not for us to exclude. It's not for us to include. It won't even be all the saints meeting as local churches. It will be the overcomers who will actually be the reality of the body of Christ and the bride. So we now need to go through this outline concerning the body of Christ, the intrinsic significance of the church. We read the verses in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Linked, you have in apposition, the church, his body, the fullness. The church is the body. To build the Lord's church is to build up the body. We read two verses at the end of Ephesians 2. Verse 21 says, in Christ, all the building is growing into a temple. All the building, that is the universal church. Verse 22 says, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. The you also refers to the local church. This is God's ordained way to build up his church. And that way is to announce the gospel, to add people to the Lord as expressed in Acts, to baptize them into the triune God, into Christ, into his death, and into the body of Christ. And then they meet with the church where they are. That's Acts. Almost all the truth concerning the church, as concerning God's economy, has either been lost, neglected, or distorted. So for at least 500 years, the Lord has had an incremental, a gradual recovery. And we are in the present portion of that. So Martin Luther was in this line. Zinzendorf was in this line. John Nelson Darby was in this line. The Lord could not get through in the United States, that was for sure. And the Lord could not get through in Europe regarding the next step, So he went to a virgin land. He went to China. And if someone has a problem with that, then you need the cross to touch the racist element in your being. The Lord may move in any part of the earth and take the next step in his move with any people he chooses. And if we honor the body, we'll receive the supply from anyone and any source used by the Lord. And it was in China that the Lord recovered through Watchman Nee the vision, the glorious vision of the body of Christ. It was through Brother Nee the Lord recovered the truth concerning the ground of the church. Then when the political situation changed in China, or on the verge of its change, Brother Nee called all his co-workers together and said, we need to be ready to do sacrifice. Except Brother Witness Lee, we will send him out so we do not lose everything. And that was a touching time between the two of them. So Brother Lee was sent to Taiwan when it was an undeveloped place. He testified, at first he's lying on his bed, looking at the ceiling, asking the Lord, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? This human element touches me. I know what it is to lie in my bed and look at the ceiling and wonder, what is going on? How did I get into this? What am I supposed to do? Then the Lord moved in him, burden them to preach the gospel. And in a short period of time, the numbers increased from 500 to 20,000. Thousands saved, baptized, added to the local churches that were raised up. That was a stage of development. Then it was transplanted to the United States when Brother Lee was brought here for universal expansion. And now we believe, as we've been enlightened by the ministry, that we're at a very crucial point of this expansion, and that is the Lord must fill Europe with golden lampstands. Before the end of the age comes, before the Antichrist is manifested, there will be a battle here, yes. But this is, we believe, the last stage of the Lord's move to recover the church life as the testimony of Jesus. So it's a fitting that we conclude this conference with seeing that the body, the organic body of Christ, which is mystical, is the essential meaning of a local church. A genuine local church is a local expression of the one body. And the points, I believe, will come clear as they can for an initial presentation. So we go through, and the time is good. I will pace myself. There will be at least a half an hour for many to respond. This message in particular needs confirmation from many brothers and sisters, from your spiritual understanding, from your experience, from your history. Because this is one of the matters the enemy attacks. He attacks certain truths. He wants to hide the truth concerning the human spirit. He wants us to believe we only have a spirit and a body and a soul. He attacks the ground of oneness, because this is the practical way the Lord will build up his church and prepare his bride. So we just declare the truth and let the light shine, and let the shining of the light draw whomever God wills. I love that verse, and maybe it's Psalm 43. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacles. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, the gladness of my joy. So we release this message with this prayer. Lord, send forth your light and your truth. Let them lead your dear believers wherever they are. We will not proselytize. We will not make an issue of this. Where they assemble, where they worship, that is their choice. But the shepherd, Christ himself, he has the right to enter all the folds and call the sheep by name. So we pray for him to do this more and more. And the folds are the religious entities in spiritual significance. Then he brings them to himself as the pasture. And then you have this wonderful declaration in John 10, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is our testimony. One flock, the one body of Christ, one shepherd, the resurrected Christ himself. Okay. One, the economy of God is for the body of Christ, meaning the body is the goal. The eternal economy of God is to produce an organic body, to be an organism to God for his purpose and expression, by God becoming man and man becoming God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. We can only express what we are. With our human life, we can only express human things. In order for us to express God, we must have the triune God with his life and nature saturating us. In this sense, making us the same as he is, but never in his Godhead, never as an object of worship. So to have the corporate expression of Christ, we all have to be filled and saturated with Christ. And that's what the church is, this corporate expression. B, we are here to carry out God's eternal economy with the purpose of gaining the body for his Son, Christ. And this body has to be consolidated into the local churches. So there needs to be a practical expression of the church. And we have a book by that title. It's an excellent book for those new to this kind of truth concerning the church. It just presents the basic elements in a very clear way that the Lord wants to have all over the earth practical expressions of his mystical organic body, and those expressions are local churches The body is one. So the expressions must also be one. If we are involved with something that's in division, it cannot be the expression of oneness. Virtually all the divisions take a name. Someone is a Calvinist, a Lutheran, a Wesleyan. But the Lord commends the church in Philadelphia, because you have not denied my name. As soon as you take another name to designate you, you are in division and not standing on the ground of oneness to be an expression of the body of Christ. So it's this practicality of the church life that is the test for everyone. There have been a number of very dear seekers, some of them ministers and pastors. They are with us for a while, and some of them may say regarding the vision, I just don't get it. I just can't understand it. And we may not say this to them because we don't want to stumble them. But that's not the issue. The reason you don't see it is that you're not willing to pay the price. This is a costly truth. Okay? But as soon as you're willing to pay the price Christ exacts, everything gets clear. I came into the church life first in San Francisco in September 1966. But after a few weeks, it was clear we should move to Los Angeles, where Brother Lee was based, and most of the seekers were coming. And I very much appreciated what a brother, maybe 20 years older than I, told me after the meeting, my first meeting. He said, in this place, you lose all of your glory. And so does everyone who gloried in you. In other words, the light and truth go out. They bring us to the holy hill, to the tabernacle. And what is there at the entrance? The altar of God. But if we place ourselves there in Christ as our burnt offering, we touch God as the gladness of our joy. Amen. Deep in our spirit, we have the sense we're home. No one needed to teach me that, to tell me that. The Spirit just let me know, Ron, you're home. You're in the Father's house and the place prepared for you. So our responsibility is to send forth the light and the truth. We leave it to the Good Shepherd. We leave it to the seeking Spirit. And again I say, we fully respect the feeling of the believers. We're here. We receive all of you. We will continue our church life until we're raptured. And at any point, you're welcome to join us. You can't shake us. We'll never compromise. Our decision is final. Our consecration is absolute. But it's just up to you. Who are we to try to argue you into the church life. No, we respect your choice in the matter. That's up to you and the Lord. Okay, now a number of points briefly. The body of Christ is the organism of the unseen God. We need to receive a trance. That's like a state of ecstasy. And the Greek word for trance, like Peter had this trance, is ekstasis, from ek meaning out of. Stasis, staseo, meaning stand. You get outside of yourself. By being in the Spirit, you're delivered from the self. Then you're transferred into another realm to have an intrinsic view of the body of Christ. So we touched upon a little bit this morning. Three, all the problems of the church today are due to ignorance concerning the body of Christ. And by the church today, I mean us. We're not talking about the system of organized Christianity. We're talking about the problems among us. And we're not idealists here looking for the perfect place. We are visionaries who see what the Lord revealed in the New Testament. But just read 1 Corinthians and you will see, maybe much to your amazement, there might be problems in a local church. Maybe you wouldn't consider Corinth a church, okay? You come there, there are parties formed. I'm a Peter. I'm a Paul. I'm of Apollos. We're of Christ. Then you have brothers suing other brothers. You have confusion in the meetings regarding the spiritual gifts. You have one instance of gross immorality. You have all kinds of disputes concerning who should get married and when. You have some questioning the resurrection. The practice was to have a love feast, then have the Lord's table. And some of the rich brought their gourmet food and their fine wine, and some were drunk by the time the Lord's table started. If you say, oh, there's this church, and we really believe this is from the Lord, then you tell them it has sex, it has lawsuits, it has this, has that. Most would say, that can't be a church. It's not spiritual enough. There's not enough love. But Paul said to the church of God, which is at Corinth, which lets us know a couple things. What makes the church a church is its standing. And in a genuine local church composed of humans like us, there simply are problem after problem. In the life study of 1 Corinthians, I was there and I was stunned when he said it. He said, Corinth is a typical local church. He didn't say normal. He said typical. And in the years since then, we've seen all of these. Because we have an enemy who's attacking, and we're all in various stages of spiritual development, and the flesh is here, and the self is here, and if we don't live in the Spirit, and we don't take the way of the cross, there will be problems. But the point here is, that I read part of, all the problems are due to ignorance concerning the body of Christ. So we just don't know, or we just don't care. So we violate the principles and cause the problems. So point three continues, we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation with the enlightening of the eyes of our heart to see the body. Four, the church as the house of God, the kingdom of God, and the bride of Christ takes the body of Christ as its intrinsic factor. The body is the church, the house of God, the kingdom of God, and the counterpart of Christ. This is revealed especially in Ephesians, an epistle focused on the body of Christ. So the body is the key to being in the house of God. The body is the key to be in the kingdom of God and to becoming the counterpart of Christ. Some believers have been taught that before the Lord comes back, somehow the Lord will just bring together scattered believers all over the earth, and they will be the bride. But that's contrary to the truth. We cannot become the bride, the counterpart, if we are not first the body of Christ built up. This is the focal burden of my whole being, day and night. That's just a fact. Day and night. The reality of the body, the building up of the body, for the preparation of the bride, so that our dear Lord will come back for her. And we want to be rapture ready when he comes. And when we appear before the Son of Man at the judgment seat, what a blessing it would be to hear him say to you, your life and your service contributed to the fulfillment of the desire of my heart. You may not realize it, but your life and your practical service contributed to the building up of the body of Christ and the preparation of the bride. And I have kept an account of every instance of your serving in the church life. Your being with the toddlers, serving in children's meeting, cleaning the restrooms, arranging the chairs, taking care of practical matters. You have this verse in Hebrews, the Lord is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. But then imagine standing before the Son of Man, and depending whether you were a teacher influencing others or someone who could say, I just never heard this, the Lord would have to say, your life as a believer did not contribute anything to the purpose for which I saved you. You haven't grown. You're not transformed. You're not built up. The fire has just tested your work. There's nothing left, because it wasn't gold, silver, and precious stones. And so we need to wait a while before you can be part of the New Jerusalem. This will happen. But how sweet, how touching to be a servant standing before the Lord and he says, well done. Good and faithful serving one. Well done, sister. Enter into the joy of your master. So this motivates us. So if we want to be in the reality of any aspect of the church, we must start to see that the body is the intrinsic significance of the church. If we are not moving toward the body, eventually you will have the feeling, maybe after decades, I've been here so long, I'm not going to leave the ground of oneness, but I just feel so empty. Yes, when you were 20-something, you were stirred, you were burning, you consecrated. That was real, and that was normal. But now you should be mature in life and in the reality of the body, and you're not, and so your spirit is telling you you're lacking something. You need to bring this sense to the Lord to say, Lord, what does it mean? Why do I have this sense in me? Then the Lord may show you. It's because you're not living yet in the body. Then this becomes a blessed moment. And when you pray back, Lord, don't let me finish my course like this. Show me what it is to live in the body, to be in the reality of the body. And the Lord will definitely do this. He will answer your call. 5. The body is the intrinsic significance of the church. Now we come directly to the point. Without the body of Christ, the church is lifeless and is a mere human organization. Local churches can degrade into this. This has happened. The ones especially taking the lead don't know the body, they don't honor the body, they're not concerned about the body, their view is very limited, but they're still a local church outwardly. But instead of organic coordination, there's organization. And there's ways to justify organization. You just can justify it. But the head knows. The Lord is the one able to assess every situation, like Revelation 2 and 3. The Lord knows the situation of every local church. And in every church, there should be the one called the messenger. I'm speaking in principle, not about a single person, that knows the Lord's burden for your locality in order to bring your locality into the reality of the body. That'd be sad. We rejoice, we take the ground in a certain place, we have the Lord's first Lord's table. The lampstand is shining, and 30 years later, it's an organization. It's not organic, but the body of Christ is not an organization. Yet your local church is an organization. So what is there is contrary to the nature of the body. That can happen. That's why we need a vision and why we need to live in the fellowship of the body. Be the church without the body means nothing. These are Brother Lee's utterances. The ministry, the word plus the ministry, is the source of these outlines. If there were no body, the church would have no meaning. That's why it's possible for someone who has been here a long time just to feel it doesn't have a meaning anymore. That's because it doesn't have a meaning. The church has lost its significance because it hasn't been developing to be the expression of the body of Christ in reality. Next, 6, the highest peak of the Lord's recovery that can really, practically, and actually carry out God's economy is for God to produce not many local churches in a physical way, but an organic body to be his organism. There has to be the local churches, but that is not the highest peak. The local churches are mainly physical, but they should be for something spiritual. And this spiritual thing is the body of Christ. The local churches are not the goal of God's economy, but a procedure to reach God's goal, the universal body of Christ. Eventually, the local churches will be over, and only the body of Christ will remain forever as the unique tabernacle of God and the unique bride of Christ. It was in 1994, in the messages printed in the book, The Practical Points Concerning Blending, the brotherly presented this truth to the whole recovery. He shared his burden concerning the reality of the body. He made it clear the local churches are not the goal. The reality of the body is the goal. The local churches are the procedure. And one very gifted and unusually intelligent older full-time worker in the United States disagreed with this, openly disagreed. No, you can't say the local churches are not the goal. Because for him, local churches were the goal. You want to know why? It's because the more local churches in his territory, the larger his kingdom became. But when we're all laboring for the body, no co-worker has anything that's his. No locality, no territory, no country, no continent. There was someone in the entire continent of South America built up an organization, a hierarchy, with him at the top. He came to know this situation. And the whole continent was cut off from the fellowship of the body. And all the co-workers from the United States were despised as being soulish and having only knowledge and not spirituality. That can happen. But eventually, the longing in the saints for the fellowship of the body prevailed. The Lord exercised his sovereignty. And now the Lord is turning the whole continent. Without our fighting anyone outwardly, just going onward. Point seven, if we see the body, we will know that there are laws in the body and that we need to act according to these laws. So let's suppose someone right now is enjoying what I would call a sacred snooze or a holy nap in the meeting, okay? That indicates there's a law in your body working that is causing you to doze off. And I'm fond of saying this. Some of you are quite familiar with this, but others haven't. I have nothing but kindness and mercy to anyone who falls asleep while I'm speaking, because once I fell asleep while I was speaking. And if I can fall asleep on my own speaking, surely anyone else has the same capacity. And so, when you wake up, which you might have just done, just kind of tune in where we are and just pick up where you left off. A very nourishing lunch was provided my wife and me. Now, I'm not working to digest it. There's just a law in the digestive system that's working it out. My heart is beating. I'd rather not hear it. I'd rather not feel it. It's when you feel something in your stomach, that's when something is off temporarily. It's when you have this sense of what's called, I think, homeostasis. Just everything is in harmony. It's in order. That means all the laws in your physical body are operating normally. Like we're breathing because of our autonomic nervous system. You're not breathing willfully. Oh no, I've got to breathe now all day long. How am I going to do that? Oh, no, you don't have to do that. Well, the point I'm trying to make is the body of Christ is an organism. And there are laws that is governing principles. So A says, God has laws, not only in the physical realm, or on the physical side, but also on the spiritual side. And actually, the laws are stricter on the spiritual side. But you only sense the strictness when you violate them. When you're in harmony with them, you're fully at peace and life is flowing. In 1995, 7 or 8 of us were meeting with Brother Lee in his study at his request. And toward the end of the time, he gave us a charge, okay? It wasn't light fellowship, it wasn't a suggestion, it was a charge. He said, you need to pursue the truth as I did, day and night. Then he said, you need to experience all of these things. And then he said, you must be an overcomer to keep every principle of the body. Keep every principle of the body. He's writing this on me and the others. And I remember walking down Ball Road back to my office, telling the Lord, of course I received this, his word, I internalized it, but I said, Lord, how can I keep all the principles of the body when I don't know what they are? I can't act as if I know what they are. What are they? So we began to seek. Way back, almost 20 years ago, at the Thanksgiving Conference in 1998, the general subject was the principles of the body of Christ. 6 messages. And beginning shortly after that conference, every principle was violated. Some deliberately, some knowingly, some just out of ignorance. And so, especially brothers bearing responsibility in the church, the ministry, and the work, we need to know all these laws and live in them in everything we do. Even my prayer is a body matter. The way I study the word is a body matter. The way I fellowship, the way I minister, the way I work. For instance, when I visit the place for a conference or for fellowship, I see my function as very simple and limited. I simply share with you the word that the Lord has in me. I don't touch the church, I don't touch the work. I don't overreach and say, oh, I noticed this about the churches. I think this is off. I don't dabble in the work. That would be beyond my measure. Measure is a principle in the body. That's not what measured out to me. That's for others to take care of. The co-workers where I am. The leading brothers in the churches where I am. Even if they would ask for fellowship, I would be very exercised to stay within measure. And not just say, okay, now you ask me, here comes, the dam is going to break, I'm going to pour out all kinds of feeling. Then I'm violating a principle of the body. So I like just traveling in such a simple way. I'm not trying to find out anything. I don't want to know anything. It's not my responsibility to adjust anything, to express an opinion about anything. I'm only here to serve you with the Word of God as food and nourishment and life and light. That's all. And then if we have fellowship after the meeting, you're just fellowshipping with another member, with a brother, not with someone who's anything else. And it's just so restful to stop trying to be the entire body of Christ by yourself. And to stop trying to be the all-inclusive Christ, just be a member. Oh, how restful. So B says Christ's body is an organic entity, and no part of his body is autonomous. Next, the unique body of Christ is expressed in many localities as the local churches. A local church is an expression of the body of Christ in a certain locality. The one universal church, the body of Christ, becomes the many local churches, local expressions of the body of Christ. Every local church is part of the unique universal body of Christ, a local expression of the body. So Paul could say to the church of God at Corinth, then he said, you are the body of Christ. Meaning you're a local expression of the body. Two, universally, all the local churches are one body. And locally, every local church is a local expression of the universal body. Therefore, a local church is not the body, but only a part of the body, an expression of the body. The local churches are many in existence, but are still one body universally in element. Because you're in a local church, it's a local expression of the body, you should soon realize by being in this church, you are in the fellowship of the universal body. For in the eyes of the Lord, all the churches are one, for Christ has only one body. 9, we need to practice the church life in the consciousness of the body of Christ. This cannot be forced, but eventually, as the Lord touches the barriers, the flesh, the self, the natural constitution, the life, Christ, who is the life of the body, will flow from your spirit into your whole being, and this life will make you conscious of the body. See, all of us, right now, the blood is circulating throughout our whole body. There is no member like my index finger that says, I've got my own life. I've got my own blood. It's right here. I don't need the rest of you. The blood that was here when I raised my index finger, maybe now is in my left big toe. Because the life is not a member life. It's a body life. And this body life makes us aware of the body. A, In order to have the body life, we must care for our fellow members and be full of feeling for the body. Sad to say, some brothers cannot discern the difference between an expression of an opinion and the expression of the feeling of the body. If I would sit down on my chair and I sit down on a tack, my body would have a feeling. And there would be some, I would hope, appropriate expression of that feeling. That's not an opinion about tacks or chairs or anything else. It's a feeling in the body. And that's just the way it is. And so when South America was cut off, there was a lot of feeling in the body universally, a lot of anguish, a lot of feeling in the saints. The body is an organism with feeling. And we have to be wise in how we express the feeling. But anyone may be a representative of the body to us. The Lord did not send a super apostle to Saul of Tarsus to introduce him to the church life. He picked an ordinary member of the body to represent the head and the body to him. And so when we are aware of the feeling of the body, we need to bring that feeling to the head. We shouldn't have opinions about the feeling. We shouldn't try to be doctors to ourselves. We bring the feeling to the head. Lord, how would you care for this need? I had a manual labor job in 1972, and I was carrying this heavy bar several feet long. My hands were slippery, so it fell and landed on the big toe of my right foot. My whole body felt the feeling. The toe was broken in a few pieces. Then the body rushed to take care of the toe, so that the toe could be recovered and function for the body. Because we need our big toes to help us stand in whatever you do with big toes. Okay. B, wherever there is body consciousness, there is body consciousness. And wherever there is body consciousness, individual thought and action are ruled out. That is why when we have a thought, we should recognize it as just that. And when this thought meets the consciousness of the body coming to us through fellowship, the wise thing to do is let go of the thought and receive the flow of life. This is living in the body. Don't hold on to your view if it's just your thought. If you're expressing the feeling of the body, you don't have to vindicate it. You don't have to prove it. Eventually, the head and the body will make known that that is accurate. Whatever we do involves the body, like getting married. I had a sweet fellowship of 4 or 5 minutes with a young brother in the Lord whom I love in the Lord. I love his family, his parents, his siblings. And I heard about the courtship developing. I'm not going to give you any clue as to who it is. And I just had the sense, this has the flavor of issuing from God the Father as the source. And there was such happiness. And the realization, yes, nothing is more personal, intimate than marriage. But if you're enlightened, you will realize your marriage is part of the body life. Your care for your children is part of the body life. D, in our consideration, the body should be first, and the local churches should be second. We must pay more attention to the body of Christ than to the local churches, because that's the sequence in Matthew and in Ephesians chapter 2. Now we're coming to the end. There'll still be sufficient time. Not as much as I thought, but sufficient time for you. The Lord desires to recover the body of Christ and the oneness of the body of Christ. This is the essence of the Lord's present recovery. The recovery is for the body. To know the body is the proper recovery of the Lord. So this completes my part. I'm at peace. We've got 22, 23 minutes. I think it's good to offer some prayers with one nearby, if you're so inclined. Then the brothers will direct us concerning sharing. And if they give a time limit, take that as from the head through the body. And just stay within the measure. And when you hear the pleasant music, finish your sentence and walk away. Okay? This is little practice in the body life. So let's pray first and then prophesy next.